Ever wondered what your brain has in common with a bird's brain? Not much, you might think. Well, think again. People with a disorder called developmental verbal dyspraxia, or DVD, have difficulty learning to speak normally. They're known to have an abnormality in a part of the brain called the basal ganglia. They also have an abnormality in one particular gene, which goes by the odd name of FOXP2. One way of studying human gene disorders is to find or create an animal equivalent, and for DVD, some biologists in Germany have now done just that. Intriguingly, the animal they've settled on is a songbird, the zebra finch. In the journal Public Library of Science, Dr. Constance Scarf of the Free University of Berlin has now published an account of some experiments on the song of zebra finches. Before she did them, of course, she had to be certain that the finch really is a good model for studying DVD, the human speech disorder.
We did look if birds had the gene. We found that it was not only there, but extremely similar to the human version. In fact, in all species investigated, it's very, very similar. And we found it very interestingly that at the time that the bird learns its song, the zebra finch learns its song, there was slightly more FOXP2 in a structure in the brain that is really important for learning.
Now, you've been investigating the link experimentally, the link between the activity of the gene and song production. What did you actually do?
The reason songbirds are such a good model for speech learning is that they both are based on the fact that we, or a songbird, hears some sounds, identifies that they are the important ones to imitate for communication. So a zebra finch needs to sing like a zebra finch and a canary like a canary. And they do that when they're young. So they hatch from the egg, and eventually when they're a little bit bigger, they hear their father or another male bird sing a song. Their brain memorizes that. And later, sometimes much later, they start vocalizing themselves. And that's a little bit like babies babbling. What they're producing is not at all like the finished bird song that we all know and that we hear outside, but it is really a very, very poor copy. And then slowly, the bird matches its singing to what it has memorized and what it should be singing until it's finally a perfect copy. So what we did was, my graduate student Sebastian Hasler, who was doing his PhD in the lab, is basically deactivate FOXP2 in the part of the brain that is important for learning in birds. And then we found that the birds couldn't really imitate the song that they had heard from their tutor or their father as well as it's normally the case.
Okay, well, you've got some examples here of the sorts of song that you were working with. Okay, so let's hear first of all the kind of song that the birds were copying, what I think you call the tutor song.
Yes, the teacher song.
Okay, now you've also got a copy there of a normal bird which was attempting to copy that. So let's hear that as well.
This is typical zebra finch song, so it's, as you can hear, it's kind of squeaky, it's not very melodic, and if you had 10 versions of them, they would be almost identical, so the bird sings the same little motif over and over and over again.
Well, let's hear what happens when you reduce the activity of the FOXP2 gene in birds that are learning. So first of all, we'll hear the teacher, and then I think we'll hear the attempt that this bird made to imitate it. This time, then, distinct differences between the teacher and the pupil, as it were.
Yes, there are fewer syllables copied, so not all the tutor's syllables were there. Some of them are invented, and then those that are there are just not as good copies.
Well, now, bring this back to human beings. Do you suppose that this something like this is happening in humans who've got the FOXP2 abnormality?
Well, it is, of course, a far jump. What we do know is that human brains and bird brains are overall more similar than was expected. So humans probably use partly similar hardware, let's say. And therefore, we think that the problem in the patients is probably also due to some kind of lack of integration between what the patient hears or has memorized in his brain, how a word should sound, and then his ability to pronounce that and not being able to match those things. When we mispronounce a word, many times we are aware of it and we correct ourselves. And somehow in that process of matching your output, your what you're saying to what you want to say, might be interrupted. At least that's a good guess, given that we are in this region of the basal ganglia that are involved in these kind of matching what you feel or what you hear to what you're actually doing.
Do you find it surprising that humans and birds might have this in common? Because in terms of our evolutionary relationships, we're quite a long way apart, aren't we?
Yeah, actually, I found it very surprising. When we started this work, I didn't really expect that we would ever get that far with it. I was just kind of on a whim. Evolutionarily, we're not coming from a common ancestor that also knew how to do this. So these are clearly independent inventions twice in evolution, but it might be that evolution reinvents similar solutions to a problem.
Biologist Constance Scarfe of the Free University of Berlin, who hopes that a better understanding of how the gene works in birds will cast light on what happens when it doesn't work in humans. And Mark, humans, birds, and I seem to recall some attempt a while ago to find out if one of our extinct relatives also had this FOXP2 gene.
It's actually very recent research on some Neanderthal skeletons from a cave in northern Spain, of which the genetic code has now been sequenced. And this has revealed that actually the version of this same gene, FOXP2, is actually pretty much identical between the Neanderthals and humans. This is important because FOXP2, as we've just heard, is important to human speech, and this suggests that it may even be the case that Neanderthals could speak as well, at least in a manner of speaking.
Seems like one of the genes that really sort of begins to define us, mark us out as humans.
Humans share the FOXP2 gene with mice as well, but there are three very subtle differences in single DNA letters. Now, humans and mice split 70 million years ago. Humans and chimps share the same gene, but with two small differences. So there was only really one genetic mutation in this in a matter of 65 million years or so. Now, since then, these two mutations have happened, and what this really suggests is that human evolution has speeded up in a sense, at least with regard to this particular gene.
Very subtle, what makes us human. Bali is playing host this week to the latest UN conference on climate change. The aim